anybody else coming? Anybody else expected to come in a few minutes?
I did hear back from Arthur and Diana.
Okay.
I did not hear back from Todd.
Okay. Todd, I saw post, he's vacationing somewhere yesterday, so having a good time. In a warmer climate or something.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, let's, if everyone's ready, we'll go ahead and start. Can I do that? Go ahead and open up the historic preservation. You guys are all ready too? Sounds good? Historic Preservation Commission meeting for Thursday, April 25th, 2019. And we'll do the roll call first. Who's?
Mark Stouffer Hunter.
Here.
Tim Oberbrock Lane.
Present.
Todd McNall. Ron Moosman.
Here.
Ron Lohr.
Here.
Crystal Walter.
Here.
Diana Pagan. And Arthur Kim.
Okay, great. Before we go to public comment period, I'd like to see who we have in our audience and see if they're here for a particular agenda.
Justin Stanley Schrader, 410 Second Street.
Good to see you again, Justin.
Cindy had a state.
Very good. Justin, maybe jump on. This is the time for public comment. Is there anyone in the audience, visitors that would like to say anything during the public comment period? We're just getting started, so yeah. Anyone wish to say anything for public comment? Yes, Lauren?
Oh, I was just dying of the nature.
Oh. I thought you were going to make her say here.
I'm here!
Okay. All right, with that, we'll close the public comment session of the meeting. We need to approve the meeting minutes. That was actually 3 weeks ago on April 4th. And if everyone's had a chance to look at them, or if they haven't, we need to get input as far as any corrections.
On item number two, I don't see where the presentation to the street two-way conversion has been added to that display online that we talked about.
To the previous one, it should be. Let me look here.
March 6th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
gosh. Oh. I made the correction, but maybe the site was having trouble uploading it. Let's see.
Okay. Any other corrections or changes that need to be made? Anyone's observations here? I could be a stickler and say Central Park should always be capitalized.
I know that too.
Yeah.
It's so important.
So, yeah, we need a motion to approve the minutes if everyone's had a chance to.
Second.
All in
favor? Aye.
Okay. Action items. We do know we have one guest that's here for one of our action items, so if everyone's agreeable on the commission, we'd like to go ahead and accommodate that request. That item first, and that would be action item 3C, which is actually demolition application under hold. Here. We've seen you before. You're representing the property. That's about to be potentially demolished. So, okay. We just need to decide whether we need to lift the hold or not.
Correct.
Right. So, let's kind of review again while we put it on hold. It was a recommendation by staff because there had been a survey done in 2009, if I remember right, that it could qualify potentially. There was a potential significance to it. And I know that had to do a lot with the four houses kind of lined up in a row, reminding everyone that this is the third of, at one time, were four houses from 4th Avenue to the alley. The first one was torn down shortly after the flood. We've already approved the demolition of application for the second house, and now this is the third house. And this had a little bit more criteria because it's a little bit more intact as far as the porch in that second house, if you remember, didn't have a lot of its original features anymore. But we still need to know if there's a compelling reason to keep it on hold. I can only add that I've documented it myself. I photographed it. I didn't notice a lot of originals left at all inside the house. In fact, there are less originals left in the house than I thought there were really. So,
what is your recommendation?
I would recommend a release letter, just because I think it's been well documented. They're not a set of four anymore anyway, and I appreciate and respect the staff recommendation, but at the same time, I just want to make sure we've all had enough careful consideration. I don't see a reason for it. Yeah, yeah. So, if we feel comfortable, it's releasing the whole.
If there's no more questions, I'll make a motion to approve the demolition on 410 Second Street Southwest.
Officially releasing the whole.
Officially releasing the whole.
I don't know if we need to, just kind of a, I mean, you always say it's not an action item, but.
It is if we change it.
It is to release it before the, yeah, before the expiration.
We do need a second for that then, so.
I'll say.
Mono to that, and all in favor of that?
Aye.
Aye. So do that, and so Justin, you'll need to just check with city staff?
Yeah, so we'll get something over to building services, so you can pull the permit.
When's the next meeting?
Oh.
I have another one.
You got another one coming?
June or May.
Probably be May.
Should be the ninth.
I'm thinking May 10th or something like that.
Yeah, May 9th.
May 9th.
Okay.
I'll see you guys on May 9th.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot, Justin, for coming, we appreciate it. Thanks a lot for the access and all that, so appreciate it. Good deal.
Mark, if you like, can give an update on the, on Ron's question.
Yeah, Ron, so I updated the minutes for March 14th, and they are online, and I added that section, just showing that Jennifer did give that presentation. Yeah, yep, it's online, yep.
Okay, great. I know that last item, I can't get over how these four houses were built at the same time, and now they're all going down. So there are buddies at the beginning, there are buddies at the end.
They just said the fourth one's next.
The fourth one's next anyway, so, yeah, so just take that into consideration, yeah, exactly, so. Okay, let's go back in the order of the action items, and go to action item 3A. Demolition review for 7708 6th Street Southwest. Primary and accessory structure demolition, and.
So, and actually, I think the, it's just for the primary structure, that was a mistake, yeah. Because the secondary is 1950.
Yeah, built at the same time as the house.
The chapter 18 says 1943 or older, so it's not.
So we can take off accessory.
Yeah.
On here. Okay. And Sylvia?
Yeah, so the structure for demolition is a one-story, single-family residential building. It was built in 1950, and it hasn't been surveyed. This one's a little hard to see on the aerial because it's such a large lot, but it is down the southeast corner of the site. Here's a picture of the house.
There's a lot behind it.
Appears to be a poor candidate for local landmarking. We don't have any evidence of historic significance, so staff is recommending immediate release.
Well, like you said, Ron, there were some buildings behind there at one time.
Yeah.
And I think those came to HBC at one time, if I remember right. There used to be some older agricultural buildings in the back, and they got replaced by the newer development to the south. And if I recall correctly, those of us, Ron and Tim, I seem to recall this is several years ago, and then the owner at that time, you know, I think the arrangements were made to potentially salvage things from the agricultural buildings, and then they even said that someday we'll probably come back to you and talk to you about this yellow house. So, I don't know. I mean, I personally don't know of any historic significance. I'm aware of it. It's a new house along the old road to the airport, and it's not too different from what we see in a lot of our 1950s neighborhoods in Cedar Rapids. So, unless anyone else has some comments or input to affect our decision. I'm okay with the demolition, yeah.
So there's no more discussion. I'll make a motion to approve the demolition.
Okay. I'll second it.
Ooh, pass. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Houses are disappearing on 6th Street. Okay.
So if I can, a correction to B. Originally, as this was submitted, it was going to be a COA. The applicant has changed what they're doing, so now it meets the design guidelines, so a CNME has already been issued for it.
Oh, okay, so we don't need to go over that.
Yep, we just didn't want to amend the agenda just for that, yeah.
So we're not addressing.
So they have all wood privacy fence, solid, including the gate going over the driveway.
Okay.
You're going to forward that, email that CNME to us like you have in the past?
Oh, is that something, I guess we've not been doing that.
We have had it somewhere in the past.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought we usually got.
I mean, we can.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not too difficult.
And they adjusted to everything, so like, I see the thing of 7 feet, they went down to six.
So, yep, so the design guidelines say 6 foot, side and rear. They're not breaching the front plane of the house, which means it's still side. And, yeah, and they had chain link originally, that's now wood.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So I actually know the owners of this house, and they asked, like, so they initially applied for this permit, and then they got denied, and then they started to come through this chamber, and they were going to come here tonight. Then they found out the guidelines, I think Lauren gave it to them, and then that's when they just changed their whole plan. So their question was, like, how were they not made aware that they just needed to stay in these guidelines in the first place? And they wouldn't have ever, like, proposed a chain link fence or any of that.
I think that's maybe something we should coordinate a little better with our development services department. The information also is out there on the website. They probably got a newsletter that talks about it recently, so they could have known.
They only knew
from
Bob that their proposal was going to be an issue. And they're like, oh, our contractor never even mentioned it.
Yeah, and, yes. And even building services, they have information on this too. Yeah, I mean, it's.
I think fence permits go through development services, so.
We don't work with development services as often, so
yes.
The staff aren't as familiar with it as
building. But we can check in with them and make sure they have that information on fence permits so that they can pass it on a little earlier in the process.
So the individual development services who talked to them said, hey, you're this, you know, this may have to go through HPC. And then she contacted me, so I was able to.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Is that something that, I mean, it was a, is it Lifetime fence or a Cope fence or something
Lifetime.
Like that? Is that something that we need to make the people that supply these things, that there's historic history?
I think that's
like
a good idea.
Yeah.
So that, I think that's a good idea. Window Depot, who's been in here before for a house, we ended up, they asked, and I just shipped them all the links to that information. So yeah. I think that's something
might
we can
be
do.
For the people, so
yep.
Just like an email, you mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just provide them the basic information and.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other questions or discussion about that? Okay.
Were they upset that they didn't know?
Yeah. Like, they wouldn't have wasted their time even talking about a 7-foot chain link fence. They knew that was appropriate. Mm-hmm.
Do they know that they lived in a historic district?
Okay.
They did
yeah.
Prior?
Yep.
Okay. That's always good to hear. Okay.
They know now.
Yeah, they know Bob and they're
well, I'm sure. Great, thanks, Crystal. Okay, if there's no further discussion on that, we'll go to the other demolition hold review for the another 6th Street house, the one we went over last time at 5909 6th Street Southwest. Because I've had some interesting things going on in my life the last couple of weeks. I haven't done all the research on this. I still have a little bit more to do. So I wanted to let the commission know that I would feel a little better if I knew a little more research had been done on the history of this particular house, and but I don't know how that impacts the owner. I mean, I don't know if that's a...
It's spooky.
It's been spooky for a long time. You know, this is one of those things where it's like, you know, when we get into that right to preservation kind of thinking, you know, this has looked empty and spooky for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a good example of where if you see something like this, it doesn't look like it's been lived in or used,
mm-hmm.
you know,
Where is this? I know 6th Street, but where? What's the landmark closest to me?
I don't know if one of them is one that she mentioned, but you know.
It's is that like Worley behind them?
What is it? Yeah, no, it's not that far down. This is closer to 60th Avenue.
Yeah, so I think that was steel store that's
listed.
Isn't that? Oh, maybe not.
There's no, this is closer to 60th Avenue Southwest.
Yeah, there's a structural steel.
Well, let's say it's an exotic dance place. It's right behind it. So.
Okay. Are you sure, Mark?
Call it's on the east side.
I think it's called the Lumberyard, something like that. So, okay.
Bottom Tully? No.
Oh, that's right.
It's just a coincidence that it says Hooker Tully right by it.
Okay. I park in that driveway. Okay, and I remember it.
Get out of here. Somebody had to say it. And my understanding is that this house is owned by the people who run the, let's say, entertainment option for Cedar Rapids. But I haven't been entirely in contact with them because I just want to make sure I had permission to be on the site to take photographs and so forth, too. So
we're just going to leave it, is what you recommend?
Unless there's concerns from staff on doing that. So.
Where is it? Can you just unlock? It's
right there.
Oh, yeah.
The steel. Yeah.
So it's literally the last residential in this particular stretch of 6th Street. I mean, this is south of Highway 30. And, you know, when this is gone, there's still like another one a little bit farther down. But, you know, as we've seen lately, you know, it's Cedar Rapids is growing and it's kind of taken over the what used to be the rural landscape between Highway 30 and the airport. And
looking at the first picture, you would never know it was sitting there. It looked like it was sitting out in some.
I know,
right.
I know. Because yeah. It's really. It
looked like the set for another Hitchcock movie.
Right, right. So it looks like over the years they put a lot of commercial in there. Into what was formerly the backyard of this house. So so I'd like to recommend leaving it on hold for now. Well, at least the next meeting, which will we review again? At that point. What kind of adventures we have. So. All right, so we'll do that. That's pretty easy. And then we're all the way up to discussion items. This could be a really, really short meeting. Proactive preservation. Is it too fast of a meeting for you? Are you guys psychologically okay?
So staff does not have anything for proactive preservation.
Correct. Okay. So I'm going to jump right in. Unless someone else has something to, you know, the only proactive preservation news I saw in last week, which I think is very good related to the city, was the options going forward for the Ambrose Rec Center. Come over the road.
Which is something we'll
which you'll
end
announce.
Next.
Sorry, okay, so I'll let you go to that because I see that as a very proactive thing going on, and I'm going to go ahead and let you talk about that in the announcement you'll do.
So, Lauren, if you want to give an update on Ambrose.
That'd be
yeah,
great.
So
or Buchanan School, if you want to call it that. So.
Yeah. Yes, so yeah. Former Buchanan School.
Yeah, Buchanan School.
Yeah. So back in like February or like winterish time, we had Chris Wan do kind of an adaptive reuse concept plan for Ambrose to kind of look at what are some feasible reuse options for this building. He did it pro bono for us. And so now we are taking it back out for a request for proposals to see if the developer is interested in rehabbing this building and potentially using that concept plan or using their own. So we took it to development committee last week and it got the green light to go ahead. So we'll be taking it to city council in May. And then we'll issue the RFP at the end of May.
So. Are we allowed to know what the plans are?
Well, what he kind of proposed as a potential option is housing. So some apartments in the actual Ambrose building and then also an additional building kind of attached to it behind to kind of help with some of the ADA issues mm-hmm. that the mm-hmm. building has. It has a lot of random stairs throughout, so that's a little bit hard, but that additional building would help kind of make that easier. So,
are they required to keep the 1960 addition as part of development proposals?
There's no requirements. Okay. I mean, we'll kind of look at the proposals and see what the best option is. I'm not sure if that is a defining feature of the building. I would assume not.
You can interpret it both ways because it's over 50 years, but it's not very... it doesn't blend in architecturally with the original 1920 building. Mm-hmm. And I want to clarify, this is a 1920 building. The date gets kind of off for this building because there was an older Buchanan school made out of wood that was there back to 1902, and this building replaced it. But the 1960 edition, I don't think, is architecturally and, you know, visually very. So I'm in big favor, too, of something newer in the back that addresses the ADA issues and might function better as a newer component than the 1960 edition. But I could also see an argument for the story of the baby boom and you needed to put tack on these really quick additions to existing older school buildings, you know, because the school district tried to close Buchanan like 5 times in its history. And they couldn't do it because they couldn't lose the classroom space because there were too many baby boomers. So every time they opened Grantwood, Erskine, Squaw Creek, Monroe, and with the intention of closing Buchanan, they couldn't close it, you know, because they needed to keep it going, and they didn't, weren't able to finally do it until the 70s. So, but that's just my kind of input because, you know, I just feel like from a visual standpoint, the building might have a little bit more presence and might be viewed as a visual, even more of a visual amenity to the neighborhood if it went back more from the Mount Vernon Road view to more of its original historic appearance back to 1920. So that's why I didn't know if that was a condition or not, that they had to keep the 1960 edition, and they had options for that. No, they kind of replaced one, like a new edition in place of the other one, but you know, kind of focus on the older buildings. So that was my only question I had. Ron, you were at that meeting, I think, too, weren't you? The development meeting?
Yeah.
Great. Any questions about Buchanan School? It will turn 100 next year.
Oh, what I have.
Yeah. Okay. So another announcement. If you don't know already, we are going to have our first open house for the local historic districts. That's the 30th, which is Tuesday, from 6 to 8. At St. Paul's, and I've already, I think it's called The Gathering. It's the kind of the nice stained glass windows overlooks the parking lot. And really, the purpose of that, again, is just to help give more information to people who live in the districts, because, you know, some people may not realize that there's things that come along with that. Also maybe an opportunity for people to kind of get to know each other and who all is in the district. And then we'll do a brief presentation and provide some information. NFC will be there as well, representatives, so I think that's good.
What time is that,
Adam? 6 p.m.
At St. Paul's?
Yes.
On the 30th?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a come and go thing, so yeah. Anytime between 6 and 8, people can come.
So that was it from staff.
Do I bring up the topic?
Yes.
Of me?
Yep.
And then let me know if I'm on track with you guys and so forth. So I've had a major change that I've made a decision on this month. You may or may not have heard about it. And I made a decision to resign my position at the History Center to equal considerations of financial and family. And I just need to have more flexibility with both going forward for considerations of both. And but that will change potentially, well, not just potentially, will change my status here. And I don't know if you want to fill in any more about what that means.
Yes.
For
so,
me and the HPC.
So Mark, this will be Mark's last meeting as chair on the commission. Tim will run the ninth, and then we'll do an election for, depending on Tim's preferences. Right now would just be for chair. However, if Tim, you know, has interest in being chair, then we would need to do election for vice chair as well. And then also going forward, so Mark has been gracious enough to, we'll send out the agenda to Mark, so it'll still be on the list, and then he's going to send staff, and he's free to send that to you guys as well, any information he has on items on the agenda. So that way we can use that in the staff report, we can read his email verbatim or send it out. But and I think from staff standpoint, you know, that's great that he's still willing to do that for us. We're not gonna expect it, obviously, if Mark has, it's when he has time. And so, but I think that's great that he's willing to do that, so.
Right, and it's part of just keeping open relationships with a lot of the people I already am and entities, and You may see me at meetings too. I may show up in the audience myself as well. Todd, I see your hand over there.
Well, I guess the only thing that, Mark aside, I'm sorry to hear that. I think that new terms start July 1st. Mm-hmm. So maybe there might be consideration of wait until having your elections for your new positions after the new people would sit in as after July 1st. Something like you were talking about having elections in June.
Yeah.
So you might consider waiting a couple of meetings until after the new folks have.
So we can talk about that internally, but the bylaws do say at the next meeting, and because of kind of continuity, we thought it would still be good for Mark to chair this meeting. So
you're stepping down immediately, from the commission.
From the commission officially, yes. But I don't know if I'm allowed to say. I mean, my thoughts on who could be considered to lead down the road or whatever or not. So, but I have a high regard for Tim, and Tim, you've been great as a vice chair, and you've been stepped in a lot of times when I haven't been able to be here or when I've been on the phone. So I have a lot of confidence in you, and I work together very well. So I will just kind of throw that out there, and of course you have kind of a longer tenure here, and so do you, Ron. So I just want to kind of officially state that. A lot of confidence in you guys. And
wait, wait.
Right over here. And I know, Todd, your term's up, so I just kind of
end of June.
End of June. So hear that. I don't. Sometimes in city commissions like this, they tend to gravitate towards when there's changes in people that you look at the people who have the longer time put in, and then the newer people can kind of learn from those people and so forth. You don't have to do it that way, but you can do it that way. But it's just something just to kind of consider going forward. So, and this has really been a tough decision for me. And, but I'm just, a lot of things have changed my life. And, I'm not retiring anytime soon. The funniest thing I've heard in the last couple weeks is that people, I heard you're retiring, and I'm kind of, God, I got 11-year-old twins and a 9-year-old. I can't retire anytime soon. But, it's just those things where you'll still be seeing me around, and I'll be doing a lot of things. I just want to kind of assure everybody that I'm not going to disappear from Cedar Rapids, and you might even see me more than you realize. So just kind of keep that in mind. So whether that's good or bad for you guys, I don't know. But, I have appreciated the friendship and camaraderie and the snacks from everybody who's been a part of HPC and every member of the staff that I've worked with over the years. And this is my second time being on HPC. For 6 years now, and then I had a 4-year stint before that, long before the flood. So I don't know if anyone else has done that, but I just thoroughly enjoyed every moment of every meeting with all of you and everyone in the public and city staff. So that's what I can say. I'm very grateful for that. So I hope to continue our relationships. Yes, Ron.
I was going to offer up that if you get something and you don't have time to research it, mm-hmm. reach out to one of us so we can do that.
It'd be great. That would be great. Yeah. So,
And is it also possible, too, you could kind of share some tips on how to research?
Yes. Absolutely. Keep the lines of communication open with everybody and anybody. Absolutely. Yeah.
So my concern is we're going to be down 3 people.
I was just going to address that and also Dinah, what you just said. So, let me start with that one. The city has purchased a membership from the History Center, so that covers all city employees and boards and commissions. So what that means is, you could, and I think it's my correct, you call, say, hey, I want to do research on X.
Yeah.
History Center staff pulls it all together and puts it in a pile for you. So you just have to have an appointment so they have time to do that. So that's open to all the HPC members. So I don't know if we've, I think we've talked about that, but I wasn't sure, so I thought I'd bring it up since you mentioned it. To membership. So we have one vacant position, which was a local district. So we have to have a minimum of 2 people from each local historic district. Diana, you're filling one. The other one's been vacant. We do have someone who has applied that lives in the 2nd and 3rd Avenue district. So that's one. With Todd coming off the commission, that's one of our certified local government agreement requires us to have at least 2 people who meet one of 5 professional positions. So Todd and Mark are both of those for us now. Todd's coming off at the end of June. Mark is off now, so that means we will have those 3 Ron is currently up for his second 3-year term is will be up in June. He's reapplied. So right now we're going to be looking for people that meet that CLG professional qualifications.
Can you give us those 5 categories again? Architect, historian.
I didn't bring that.
I mean,
yeah,
you know who Todd and I are, but
I think it's architect, architectural historian, historian.
There's pretty specific qualifications for each in terms of like years of work experience. Mm-hmm. Where is that in here?
But doesn't it also say that in smaller cities, in some instances, you can't?
Yeah.
So yeah. So that's if so. Applications for boards and commissions close on April 30th, mm-hmm. but that's really just to help position kind of the internal process. If we still need positions for boards and commissions, we continue to take applications. So so there's not really a time limit per se, but one of the things is that if we are not able to find someone, but we still have people just to fill the position, so we have 9, we can contact the State Historic Preservation Office and talk to Paula Moore and ask her, because there is that exemption in there for smaller communities that may not have just the people in them that, you know, have those backgrounds. So
yeah, so those categories are history, archaeology, architectural history, architecture, and historic architecture.
How much work experience do you need for history?
So for history, you either have to have a graduate degree in history or a closely related field, or a bachelor's degree in history or a closely related field, plus one or more of the following: at least 2 years of full-time experience in research writing, teaching, interpretation, or other demonstrable professional activity with an academic institution, historical organization, or agency or museum, or made substantial contribution through research and publication.
Yeah, I have my bachelor's in history, so I don't know if that helps.
But your professional experience is not.
I don't have any of that.
Yeah, so I think you would either have to have a master's or bachelor's in experience.
My master's in museum studies. And
okay.
I've worked in a historic house for like a decade.
Okay, so I think.
So
okay.
Well, but if you have a master's in, I would say that museum studies is pretty close to these fields, so that might qualify.
Awesome. So we'll verify just to, you know, make sure. But that's awesome. So then that would mean. We just short on one professional. We do have another individual that applied that could then kind of, since you're filling that role, that'd be
great.
Yeah.
This also made you have to serve 9 years.
Yes, I very poorly.
Fill that role if we made. We'll edit that out of the recording. So that was, I think that's it for announcements.
Yeah, if there are questions about that or someone's got something else to add to the meeting, we could. I didn't think the last one I do would be the shortest meeting of all time. So
just talk for the next
one. Do you guys want to give an update on your RFP process? I believe, have those interviews been set yet?
We're working on scheduling them. Rebecca's working on that. So Todd is on the review process for the RFP for a consultant for the Beaver Woods survey. We had 2 applicants. I don't think we can share too much of the details publicly at this point, but basically we're planning on interviewing both of the people who applied and making a decision. Mm-hmm. So hopefully interviews will be next week. I'll check in with Rebecca tomorrow.
So the sooner I can get those invites, the better. I have people who set meetings on my calendar without asking.
Yeah, because we have the RFP process. Yeah, because of the RFP process, only Rebecca is allowed to reach out to them because she's in purchasing.
Sure.
So I'll double check with her tomorrow and see how that's going.
Cool.
So we might be able to give an update on the 9th then.
Yeah.
Would it be possible to have the categories and qualifications sent?
Yeah, I'll send you an email with that.
Actually, we can send it out to the whole group, and if you know
someone
who,
that's what,
even if you're not fully sure, but
so
you think they might.
So the professional that is an has been an architect or something?
No, it could be any of those 5.
Archaeologist, architect, historical architect.
Architectural historian.
Historian.
and just history.
Yeah. And I think the key there is the kind of the practicing part, or that there's
experience. You know, I think,
yeah, the experience. Yeah. So.
But actually, I didn't realize that it was master's or bachelor's in experience. I thought it was master's and experience,
okay.
So that's helpful.
Yeah.
Reading it more closely,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah, I think it's better than it's both. That's
yeah,
great.
So
great
someone
great.
With a master's, yeah. Maybe who works in a different field,
okay.
Qualify.
That's the case, though. Do we have to have one of each? Like, do they have to? Can we have two historians?
We yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Because
yep.
Then, if it's a master's or mm-hmm. a bachelor's in experience, then the two of us would actually cover that.
As oh, a yeah. combo.
Yeah.
Because I've got a master's
Diana,
experience, and she's got.
A bachelor's so history.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think it has to be the same person. So yeah. Diana, you would have to be employed in a history field. Yeah.
So we'll get that sent out to you. And yeah, please pass it on if there's anyone you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we can keep referring people to you if you want to
yeah.
be on the commission. So yeah, there's still time to do that. So. Yeah, right, Crystal. We can always go out and do a tour in the rain. You know? So,
yeah. Mark, are you aware of anyone that used to sit on the board in the last 20 years that might move on to Cabana at all?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I don't think there's anyone, there's any city issues precluding somebody who had been on the HPC like maybe 15, 20 years ago.
3 years.
No,
to come back, as long as there's been a break.
They have to have a 3-year break.
Right, because I was originally on here from 2004 to 2008 and then came back. 13 to now, but I don't know if I'm the only one that's done that. I mean, it's possible, but there's a lot of people that could be asked if they'd be interested in coming back, and maybe they don't realize that they could come back, you know, if they were on in the very early years.
Todd, what was the guy that was on for when I started? He lives by Washington High School at that limestone house. I can't think of his name.
I don't know. I'm not sure who you're talking about.
I don't know if you guys keep a roster of who's been on HPC or so.
We,
how far
we'd be able to,
how far back
to be able to go back to the,
yeah.
Yeah, mainly by way of the minutes. Yeah.
Right, that's what I mean, yeah. Because we should still have them all the way back to the beginning of the HPC.
Yeah.
Yeah. You do have all the minutes.
Yeah.
Minutes. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
With the smokestack.
Yeah. Well, Todd's going back. You're going way back.
All that. Period kind of burn people out on preservation.
Mm-hmm. Tough times there. Yeah.
You just trying to get this meeting to be longer, aren't you?
I'm about ready to break out my tour guide. So you can watch this. Okay. Anyway,
I do want to say one thing real quick. Just on Tuesday of this week, Washington High School took 80 kids to Chicago.
That's where you were.
And we went through the Chicago Art Institute, mm-hmm. and we also took tours around the loop of historic buildings. So I took 15 Washington kids around to, oh gosh, about 12 different buildings in the loop.
Mm-hmm.
Gave them the 2-minute spiel per each, and it was a lot of fun. I think they were, a lot of them, I think, really enjoyed it. You know, I'm no doubt, if you ever get down in the loop area, it's worth your while to go down and research some of the buildings, because there's some pretty cool ones there.
There's some great ones, like Fine Arts Building. You can just walk right in and check out the whole place.
Even the Monadnock Building, you know, it's an 18-story building that's basically, it's structural brick. It's the whole thing brick, not a piece of steel on the whole thing. And it's huge, and it's gorgeous.
It's one of my all-time Chicago favorites, yeah.
Yeah, so just something, yeah. You know, FYI, you can actually get on the City of Chicago page, and they have a couple of information on there, some of the buildings, so. It's pretty easy to go and do kind of a self-guided tour of them.
Yeah. Tim.
So just a refresher, just in case I do become.
Sure.
When
you become. Oh. Really
what I need to look into is the conversation you have prior to each meeting, if that's at a certain time, because my schedule's.
So we would base that on you. Obviously, we sent out the agenda the Friday before. We would just want to make sure, and typically what we do is if something comes in, because so demolitions and COAs or facade modifications, there's HPC can put a hold of up to 60 days, but you also have 15 days to make that review. So if it goes 16 days, that demo is happening whenever the contractor wants to. So that's why sometimes we kind of wait or we amend the agenda if we don't have that in between meetings. So we would, we can talk, you know, we would talk to whoever the new chair is about their schedule and how that works with sending out the agendas. There might be a change. I know what we've done with Mark is that if something pops up Friday before we send out the agenda, we'll send something to Mark and say, hey, we're adding this. That way, at least he's aware of it. It happened after we talked, but...
We
can do phone calls. It doesn't have to be in person. That's,
yeah, we've been doing 3 p.m. on Thursdays. That just works for me. You know, the alternative Thursdays, but it's really, it's up to you guys what works for you.
And you're going to receive the agenda. So if...
So will I receive the agendas before you talk to Tim, or how does that work?
We'll do it when we send out to the general public.
So my question is, so you're going to give us a heads up on some history of some of these things.
Before
and if you wanted to do photo documentation or anything like that, so we would have an idea if we should or shouldn't have put a hold on it.
My hope was that I could help you with that kind of information before the meeting is actually held.
Because that's where the rest of us, we just don't have your knowledge.
Yeah.
So we're flying, it's like flying a plane upside down.
But I would just say, I think the question, you know, what Diana brought up, because if Mark may have other things going on, mm-hmm. so if he's not able to do that, then it's really up to commission members mm-hmm. to do that. And to look into some of these things, mm-hmm. which, you know, we've got that History Center membership now. So, and I'm just thinking about it now, we probably can send a list to them of the people who are covered under our membership, so that way there's not an issue. But, so, you know, there might be more that you guys end up having to do. Which is probably good to help build capacity in terms of,
and like Diana asked,
the more eyes out there, the better.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to help you kind of become a little more like me if you want to, you know. I mean, not that you have to climb through attics and basements like I do, but, you know, it is, you know, if you want to join in the fun of what I do, that's great, you know, because the more of us that do it, the better. You know, we should all be as, you know, as resourceful as we can and getting the best information for you.
Being that you've written books and you like that photo documentation, will you let us know if you need to take pictures mm-hmm. and stuff?
Sure. Yeah.
Prior to the meeting.
Yeah, so all I can say about going forward, and once May 1st comes here, I've had a lot of moving parts around me in the last couple of weeks, but it's looking very, very good that I'll be around Cedar Rapids quite a bit still. So, yeah, so I don't think I'm going to disappear or anything like that. So, yeah. Which means I'll be around to take photographs.
My biggest fear, not having Mark's knowledge, and I work 12-hour days, so it's hard for me to go to the History Center and sit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just... got six properties and I'm swamped. I'm trying to think of things to get off my plate as far as.
Yeah.
But my worry is we let something slip through the holes because we don't have your expertise.
I would just reiterate, it's maybe a good push for, you know, Mark's kind of pushed you guys now to go ahead and get yourself familiar with how to do the research and.
Yeah.
Is that an only retired person?
Ron's come in and done research with a lot of History Center.
Yeah, that's really good.
He's actually been really good about that. So.
And the other thing, too, is we can also contact the History Center about maybe setting up some sort of, see if they could do a brief kind of tutorial mm-hmm. to run through, and then we can just either do it as, I probably wouldn't do it as a meeting, but we could just get people in groups, mm-hmm. Split it up so we don't have a quorum and, you know, kind of little class so you guys know how to do the research and...
Would it be possible to, when we have the agenda go public, to just put in a standing, like, here are the properties that we're going to be looking at, and call over the History Center, just have them pull up that Friday, and then we've got a week to summon.
Dave probably need more of a heads up than that. I don't think there's limited staff at the History Center. The curator oversees the archives, mm-hmm. so it can be a little difficult to, even though they're open on Saturdays, to get in the library.
How much notice do you think we'll need to pull, say, three properties?
Yeah, because there's not always the librarian on site.
Right, like they have a volunteer librarian that's very consistent, who's in there every Tuesday and Thursday.
Okay.
So they have good people in there Tuesday. So I would recommend a process where you can call in or contact the History Center and say, like, you get an agenda on Friday and make that Tuesday potentially the day, then you want to make an appointment with the company.
Yeah. What I'm more concerned with is anything outside the historical districts, all we can do is put a 60-day hold anyways, so. So my biggest concern is that we document, so, and like you once said, the whole area where the interstate is, there by E Avenue, and those, down by the slough, you can see the lake where you go. We don't have any of that photo documented, so I don't, I just wanna make sure that you're getting the information that you need before we take something off hold.
Oh, right, yeah.
Allow demolition, and it's, oh, we should've known about that one, I need it, you know.
Right.
And then that point, if you're not able to take photos, but we are.
Yeah.
What do we do with the photos?
Maybe you can train me how to take photos too, I don't mind doing it.
Yeah, okay, sure, yeah.
What you do.
All right, I'll talk to you about that.
Figure out where they go.
What do you do with the photos? You stockpile them?
I keep catalog in the library of them, you know, some of them have been used quite at History Center, but they don't necessarily need a lot of those, but a lot of it is my own, you know, library archive, which I share with the city and other kinds of entities at their request. So I make them available to anybody who wants them, so I just feel like, I mean, I've just been consistently documenting the city and photograph. Will be 40 years this next March, because I started when I was 14.
Wow.
And I try not to miss anything in those 40 years, you know, just try to, and a lot of times those images have become really useful, and I am always open to share them with anyone, so they become very helpful with the governments to develop.
Maybe what you can do for us is once you get the agenda, and you know you can't do something, but something like pictures, let us know, so that I can see if someone.
I can usually, if I have a week, I can usually get stuff.
I will transmit to everybody my contacts from this point forward, because I won't have a History Center email address, but I will have my own. And so that, don't be surprised if I contact you guys right after you get the agenda comes out to the public and stay in touch with you guys, so.
Please do.
So, one thing we were just talking about briefly, we can look at, it may only be a day or two, but maybe say issuing the agenda on Wednesday. So then you have Thursday and Friday instead of now having Friday. I mean, I don't know if that's enough to.
Yeah.
That could be.
Gives us a little more of a leg up, yeah.
Still with the caveat that if something comes up that requires that review by you guys that we would amend, but does that.
Right.
Would that be something you guys would like to?
I just don't want our history and experience, no offense to anybody, to let something get.
Right, I think we all have a concern.
That we wish we would have pictures of.
Right, well, we don't, and we also don't want to accidentally let something get torn down that we found out later was historic. But that's why you have the abilities that you do, which is why you have the research qualification if you need to do more research on something. And when things get amended very late, you know, there's always that, you know, you can always table it for the next meeting if you don't think you have enough information about it.
Depending on, I mean, again, you have 15 business days, so you may not be able to table.
No, I mean, once it's on the agenda, you know, like.
Well, it's 15, you have 15 days to make a decision, to take a make a determination on whether to hold or not hold.
Right.
So, yeah. And we'll make sure that we communicate that when something like that happens.
Well, what's been great lately is I'm starting to forget now the last time that anybody forgot an address for a demolition, you know, or it got slipped through or something like that, you know, so. We're catching everything that's 50 years or older, you know, we are. So, you know, that's the important thing is that we're.
What is our guidelines? Let's say something on the northwest side, the Wright brothers did live in it, it is private property, we put a hold, but they can still tear it down, can't they?
Yes.
Even if it's historical, so.
Well, after.
After the 60 day hold.
Yeah, after the hold, correct.
Our hands are kind of held, we only have so much power, so.
We just want to document, I guess.
Yes, we still want to get documented.
Or, you know, I mean, what it, yeah, I mean, that's the purpose for the hold is not the photo document, it's to look at different options, so maybe it's salvage, photo documentation, purchasing and moving it, talking to the person and saying, hey, maybe you could do X, Y, and Z, and maybe they can incorporate that into what they're thinking, so. Kind of gets back to, you know, with proactive preservation, just that initial contact with the property owner.
Well, if it is a development, then it would go through the new initiatives to incorporate the property into their design or.
Yeah, so educating them about that.
And most of them could be related to development.
Yeah.
See, because that's been my biggest battle on this board, because I deal with a lot of people on a day, a week, a month. They're not attacking me, but they're very confused on why didn't you say that, and I'm trying to make them realize it's private property.
Yeah.
We can't, and if it's, unless it's in a historical district or a landmark,
yeah.
all we can do is hold it.
Right.
You know, we don't, we're not God.
Well,
so they say, yeah, but the Wright brothers live there, and I said, but it's private property.
Yeah. But we all remember the frustrations that we went through in Nubo, when we had two examples there, one, the Hawk building, that we couldn't save no matter what we did, and because it was private property. And a lot of people worked really hard on that, but then the White Elephant was saved ultimately because it started with a 60-day hold by us, you know. And but people have been involved with that, you know, and then that did have a good outcome, you know. And it's, you're right, it's private property, but you know, but we've had some good saves that were initiated by a 60-day hold. I mean, there's been some real terrible losses, but there's been some good saves. So it's not just about putting it on hold. You know, it can't happen. You know, sometimes they're really close shaves, you know.
It's hard, too, because, well, like for the Frankie house, you know how long that took.
Yeah.
Once we put the 60-day hold and the expense.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah. But that did start with the 60-day hold.
You can't do it in 60 days. You just got to hope that that 60 days will turn into.
But that was another great example of ultimately it was a success as far as it wasn't destroyed. But we did initiate the hold on that. And, you know, so it does have impact, you know. It doesn't always work every time, because every single time, every address is a different set of circumstances and personalities and scenarios. So, you know, you're never going to find two historic buildings with the same, you know, cast of characters going on. So that's why you can't treat any two the same way. You just can't, because there's too many dynamics that you have to consider. All right, I feel like I'm really delaying this meeting. You guys all have the power to end the meeting. I don't.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
I'll second it.
All right. All in favor, be done.
Aye.
Okay, all right.
Mark, thanks for everything that you
sure.
Yeah.
Mark, I'll miss you a lot.
Oh, well, you'll still see me. Hey, there's Mark over there.